Chaos, complete chaos as it pertains to Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. This is Speak. Glad you're here, but let me bring you up to date on the chaos and how we have the attention of the sports world. Now look, I gave you all my MVP rankings on Monday as an official voter, but people were not happy because I left Dak Prescott off the list. 4.8 million views, you can see that attained, but not just the attention of common men, the attention of superstar Micah Parsons, because he chimed in and he posted, "But y'all on here trying to convince me Dak's not top three. Adam Anulacho, make it make sense. I leave Dak out of the list, we get attention. Joy Taylor speaks Dak's name, we get attention. 2.1 million views when she says that Dak Prescott isn't a top three MVP candidate right now. Well, get this. Today, Player of the Month, it came out. Dak Prescott, NFC's Player of the Month. I applaud you. Kudos to you. But that brings up an incredible question for you, Joy Taylor, because you got a lot of people up in arms. A lot of people are up in arms. But here is my question.
What do I hear?
Dak Prescott, he's the Player of the Month. How does that change your opinion on his MVP candidacy, and does it at all?
Well, it's got to change it. You just showed my checklist. One of the checklist items was best player of the league moments. Well, you win best offensive player of the month in November, then you get to take that check and turn it from an X to a green checkpoint. So, yes, of course, it has to change it. And it changes where he stands in the conversation right now. I'm just sitting here listening to you introduce the show. Could you imagine fighting for three, Shady? Woo, I can't fight for three. I got to fight for one. I got to be number one.
Uno.
You know what I'm saying?
Uno.
I can't be out here fighting for three, but I like it for you. Like, if you like it, I love it. I don't know. That's just seems to be the mood when it comes to this conversation. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
So like, you fighting for three, James? Because I'm fighting for one.
I said three, but I'm trying to get him to one.
It has to change it. I'm going to stand 10 toes down on what I said, and this is an ongoing, developing situation. There is still football to be played, and that is something that I do think matters. Now, we can add a little context to it. We could add a little nuance to it, but I think that would upset people. So I'll just leave it at that for now, that it does matter that he won Offensive Player of the Month.
Shady, you were NFC Offensive Player of the Month back in December of 2014, I see. December of 2013, you went on to be the rushing leader, so obviously it's a big deal. It's hard to do. Does it change your opinion of Dak Prescott's NFC candidacy, him being NFC Offensive Player, not of the week, not of the day, but of the month?
No, I love that for him. Right? I like that for Dak. I think it helps his argument of MVP. And the cool thing about this whole thing is, you know, people forget that where Dak comes from, right? Yeah. This start of the season, it started out great. What was it? What was the stat we had?
Six touchdowns, four interceptions.
For the first six games. Yep, and I think that was the point where McCarthy was nervous to throw the ball with Dak because of turnovers, right? He was a super conservative offense. Now you see the game plans expanded a little bit more. Now he's out here throwing the ball deep.
Yeah.
He's running a little bit more. He's playing a lot better. And I think it has something to do with the competition, right? And this is not a knack or a diss on Dak, but this is actually giving some love where right now he's third in the MVP race from the things he's done so far.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say, well, they ain't played a lot of good competition yet. Cool. But so playing against bad competition got him to number three. So now you got a chance to play against some better competition coming up. And I think if you do the same thing you've been doing, because he's been throwing 300 yards like it's nothing, putting points up, now you can get a chance to be in that number one spot.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be hard. I mean, you are playing against Jalen Hurts, the best winning team in football, right? And you have Patrick Mahomes, who is really, really good, the best quarterback in football, and he has a less hard competition, you know, going
for the scheduling.
Yep. So it's a good argument, but what I will say is with Dak Prescott, I love the things that he's doing, the way he's playing, and I just want to see that against some better competitions, because now the weak guys got you number three. Mm-hmm. What would the good guys get you?
James, you will find nothing more fascinating all day than what I'm about to say right now. You will find nothing more fascinating.
What I?
No, what I'm about to say.
Okay. No, I'm saying. What you say, am I going to find a fascinating?
You too. No. James, your former head coach, who you won a Super Bowl with, Mike McCarthy, current head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, and he said, I mean, Aaron Rodgers had a number of stretches that he went on and MVP seasons and all that. But yeah, this definitely has that type of feeling. Mm-hmm. This being the season Dak Prescott is having. You were with Aaron Rodgers when he won an MVP.
Yes, I was.
Mike McCarthy was with Aaron Rodgers for two of his four MVP seasons. Can Dak Prescott prove Mike McCarthy right? Because right now this sounds wild. Can he do it?
Yes, he can do it. strictly because of the stretch he has coming up. And who are we to disagree with Coach Mike? He got Aaron two of them. I'm not saying he got him, but he helped him, right? Aaron balled on the football field, but he knows what it's supposed to look like. He knows how it's supposed to look. He knows what an MVP season looks like. He's been around Aaron, who's Aaron won two of them and played at an MVP level for a lot of Coach Mike's tender in Green Bay. But Dak Prescott has this stretch coming up against winning teams and against big-time quarterbacks. If he delivers, he absolutely can prove Coach Mike right. If he delivers, Coach Mike is going to be right because Dak Prescott is going to be holding up this MVP trophy. Whether he's a wild card, whether they first exit in the playoffs, if Dak Prescott goes out here and handles business against Josh Allen, business against Tua, business against Goff, business against Jalen Hurts, he is going to win this thing if he's playing the same way he's playing now. I think he is going to continue to play the way he's playing now, and it starts tonight. So he absolutely can prove Coach Mike right. I said he was number three. He fighting for number one. I tried to tell y'all. Y'all don't want to listen to me, though.
Here's why it sounds crazy, though. Can we bring up the can we bring up the full screen of Aaron Rodgers' two MVP seasons with Mike McCarthy?
Oh, man.
Through 11 games, and Dak Prescott right now through 11 games. Let's show the viewer that piece of information. So Aaron Rodgers, one of the MVP seasons, 11-0. 33 touchdowns, 4 picks, 3,400 yards. Another season, 8-3. 30 touchdowns, 3 picks, 2,900 yards. Dak Prescott, 8-3. 23 touchdowns, 6 picks, 2,900 yards. It sounds crazy, James, because Aaron Rodgers both had 10 more interceptions, 10 more touchdowns, and less interceptions than Dak Prescott through the same stretch. On top of the one seed, the two seed were the Packers in those 2 years. Cowboys currently the five seed.
But, I mean, let's just keep it a buck, though. Because if it was any quarterback playing at Aaron Rodgers' level, we wouldn't even be talking about nobody else at MVP. Yeah. Dak wouldn't even be in the conversation.
Yeah.
The only reason he's in the conversation is because nobody has took hold of this MVP. Jalen Hurts has it. Tyreek Hill has it. Whoever you want. Tua has it. Whoever you want. Patrick Mahomes has it. These quarterbacks are in the same bubble right now when you talk statistically, and nobody has ran away with it. If Patty was doing that, we wouldn't even be, this wouldn't be the A block.
But isn't that, so there's two things with that. One, I think it's difficult to compare this particular year to, I don't actually think you should compare statistics year to year at all, because every year has a different story. Mm-hmm. This year, we have a legitimate conversation about Tyreek Hill potentially winning MVP, which last year, even if he had put up those numbers, he still probably wouldn't have won because of how Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts were playing up until Jalen got injured. But the other part of what you just said is what makes it interesting. It's so outrageous, the idea that Dak Prescott shouldn't be at the top of the MVP conversation to some people, yet you're saying that nobody has taken hold of the MVP conversation
this
year. Right. So what is the criteria for the MVP this year? That's really what my takeaway question is. Is it statistics?
Yes, one of them.
Well, it can't.
Wins.
It can't just be statistics.
No, it's your team got to be winning.
So it's got to be winning and statistics, and what else?
And you play.
Because apparently my list was outrageous. Like that was not the right qualifying for it. So what is the criteria? You're a voter. What is your criteria for MVP this year?
First thing for me is, one, how's your team doing? That's the very first thing is, like, what's your team's record?
Team
well, because,
good.
Of course, check. Quarterbacks are check. A win-loss
for me.
Statistic.
Quarterbacks are win-loss
right.
for me.
Now,
some people go crazy when you say
so
that.
So check for
so
that.
What's your team's record?
Check.
Then after I go, what's your team's record? What's your numbers look like?
Check.
What's your numbers look like? Then after I go, what's your numbers look like? How valuable are you to that?
Check.
But do the numbers matter for certain stretches?
No,
or do they matter for the whole body of work?
Whole body of work.
Because through the first six games, the numbers, as we outlined, were
correct.
Quite pedestrian. So do they start from week one?
No, whole body of work.
Everybody. Who's your MVP right now?
Jalen Hurts.
First six games, he has 7 picks, 7 touchdowns.
Okay, hold on.
So what are we saying?
Tyreek Hill's another one I like. Tyreek Hill's
okay.
Another, like him too.
All right, I like Tyreek Hill. He been doing work all season.
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes' stats is the same as Dak, if not worse.
But the only difference, see, this is why I got to put a little star next to this Patrick
Mahomes. And they got same record, I believe.
Because if his teammates, his wide receivers, would catch that freaking ball.
Yep.
No, you do the what ifs. You do what ifs, actually. You do that.
Go ahead.
I'm saying is, if they would catch the rock, we wouldn't be
sitting. Lamar would be up there too. But we right here, right
but
now.
But they lead the league in drop passes for a reason.
So that's why. That's why my criteria is such, because I feel like it's an amalgamation of what everybody's saying. I'm with Shady on the. I do play a little bit of the what ifs. I do. When I'm thinking about my criteria for how I'm going to vote, I will say to myself, yeah, but Pat doesn't have as much help as Dak Prescott.
Ooh. Oh, like my God.
I will say that. But it works both ways. Because Pat doesn't have as much help, I know that Pat is more valuable to that team. Mm-hmm. Because so it actually works both ways. It doesn't just serve Patrick Mahomes that he doesn't have as much help. It also hurts him. So it, what hurts you also helps you in the same breath. Dak has a lot of help. His numbers will be better. But it questions how much value.
So who your MVP right now is Jalen Hurts, right? Like if the season ended today.
I don't know. No, I'm going with Tyreek Hill.
Okay.
The stuff he's about on pace to do, that's special.
And second would be?
Second would probably Jalen Hurts, and third would be Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
So
Jalen Hurts. You
know what? Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes in the same kind of, like, they right there. I'm going to be honest, they right there for me.
Right now, if the season ended, I'm taking Reek. I want Reek to get it.
Okay. So right now, it's between Tyreek and Jalen Hurts. And obviously, Tyreek is not because of the winning, because there are teams who have better records than the Dolphins. It's because of the statistics.
And No. They're 8-3. They're a winning team.
Right, but they're not the most winning team.
Yeah.
So you think he impacts winning, and obviously it's statistics. It's similar to an Adrian Peterson.
Makes everybody better.
Yes. Right.
It's
similar to an Adrian Peterson situation.
Right. Okay.
Okay, so then you go to Jalen Hurts. What body of work evidence that you have that Jalen Hurts
I think the only reason Jalen is in it right now is because his team is winning. I don't think Jalen's playing at an MVP level.
But you don't think
MVP
that they're
moments.
Winning? You don't think they're
yeah,
winning
yeah, he's had
because
moments, but...
of Jalen Hurts? Like, you don't think they just won that game that
well,
we just
I mean,
watched against the Bills because of Jalen Hurts?
It's tough to say that because, I mean, I played a what-if game, too. If MVS catch the dang ball, the Chiefs win.
Well,
Jalen Hurts did have that ball to go win. Like Shady said, he had his moments to close game out.
And he did it.
Close games out.
And but, he did it.
If you're talking stats and all that, I don't think he's in there. He's in there strictly because his team is 10-1 and he's helped be a part of it.
Well, also, Joy, we got to put this factor in also. There's MVPs that have MVP moments.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think Jalen Hurts, he might not be playing great like he's talking
no
about.
Doubt.
He's really not playing
but he
great.
He does have those moments.
But, man.
For sure.
He has
moments.
Some MVP
Never
moments.
For sure.
When we need him.
Love them.
And not just name against weak teams. No, good teams.
That's,
we need you against good teams.
That's what makes it a moment.
It comes
yeah.
through.
That's what
it comes through.
Every
clutch.
Time you need him, he comes through.
And then he does that score and be like, yes. It's me. I'm
to
here.
Me, that's why it is Jalen Hurts. And it's I don't have to think about if it's Jalen Hurts right now or not. 2, 3, 4, I'm open for all kinds of discussions. But because of those moments, I'm not caught up in the statistics in this particular year because I don't think any quarterback, including Dak Prescott, has been great all season long.
That's
he
true.
Wasn't great through for the first 6 games. Nobody has been great through the entire season. Mm-hmm. So what are the moments then? Because if you're putting up statistics now, why are you putting up these statistics? Yeah. Now, where I will move off of yesterday where I disagree with you is if he continues to put up the statistics that he's been putting up against these teams that we don't, that do not have winning records and are not good teams, against the teams in the stretch that he has coming up, that's going to change the conversation significantly.
Has to.
That is a Giants what if.
Mm-hmm. So wait, I hear what you're saying. So what if Mahomes balls out against the weaker teams like Dak been doing?
I agree.
And he's gonna be in there.
And he is. Then he
but
win
I say, but do they flip flop or they stay?
I would say because he's gonna win. His record is gonna be there, and his stats is gonna be there, and he's passed.
I would say they would flip flop, and Dak would leap Mahomes.
Mm-mm. I would not. And that's where we start to disagree.
Let me say why I would say it.
Okay.
The reason I would say it is Mahomes has had his opportunity to play the Eagles. Dak Prescott lost to the Eagles like Mahomes lost to the Eagles. Dak Prescott played significantly better against the Eagles than Mahomes did.
Yeah.
The good thing for Dak is he'll get to play the Eagles again.
Mm-hmm.
Mahomes will not. Dak Prescott will get to play the Bills. Like, I believe the Chiefs will also get to play the Bills. After the Bills come off of this bye week, Andy, please off camera, correct me if I am wrong. They will both get opportunities to play the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
So Dak
They both
Prescott,
got opportunities to play the Jets.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And Dak Prescott played better against the Jets than Mahomes did. So the reason I think Dak Prescott would leap Mahomes is because Mahomes has played some of these weak teams, and Dak is currently finishing his weak team stretch.
Go ahead.
I don't know if I said anything crazy.
No, you know, this is why I was talking to Aaron Donald the other day about this award.
Mm-hmm.
And just to think that a dude that's playing the 3 technique, getting 20-some sacks.
Double teams.
Double team, and you don't get you ain't no MVP or none of that?
Yeah.
The problem I hate about this award is because it's always the quarterback.
No question.
And this is why a prime example why I hate this award this year, because none of the quarterbacks is balling out.
Not at all.
But we talk about them as MVPs. When a dude like Tyreek Hill is about to set a record that we've never seen before, and he's like in the top 3, top 5.
Yeah.
That's why I hate to even talk about this award. That's why I'm real like patient and let y'all do your thing, because... It's like, yo, y'all making it for this one position.
Yeah, and I'm with you because the two quarterbacks that's really up there, I mean, you talk Jalen Hurts, you talk Dak. I mean, A.J. Brown was in the MVP. You know, Reek is in the MVP. CeeDee Lamb playing out of his mind.
And
so,
if we want to keep it real,
I'm with you.
I was a receiver.
The other best team in the NFC was without their actual best player, and they couldn't win a game for three straight games. So, from that team, it should be Trent Williams, and that's why you had him in your top five.
But there are no defensive players.
But here's my thing, though, and again, I'm a defensive player. Maybe I'm just used to being relegated to lack of attention as opposed to the offensive players, wide receiver, running back, so maybe I'm just used to it. I've had to have the realization that the quarterback is the most valuable.
No question.
I saw A.J. Brown have one catch for 8 yards, and Jalen Hurts still found a way to win the game. Mm-hmm. I saw Devontae Smith be essentially kind of disappear, if you will, and Jalen Hurts still found a way to win the game. Against the Buffalo Bills, Jalen Hurts called his own number. It was an RPO, a run-pass option. He could have passed it.
Yeah.
He kept it. He won the game. Mm-hmm. So I hate it, but unfortunately, I do always believe that a quarterback is the most valuable player in football. I think there are way better players. I had a conversation today with local San Francisco radio. I said, McCaffrey's way better than Brock Purdy.
Yes.
Way better. I said, but Brock Purdy's more valuable.
No doubt.
So maybe the solution is that we just get a best quarterback award.
For real.
That's what college does. College has your Davey O'Brien, and college has your Heisman.
Right.
But your Heisman isn't the most valuable.
No.
Heisman is the best player in college football. So as long as it is a conversation of value, everything is muddied. And in that, Chady, I think, is the tension.
Or you just got to do what Adrian Peterson did. You got to have one of them.
Tyreek,
got to leave no doubt.
Tyreek's on that pace, though.
Wouldn't you say?
But he needs some 200-yard games.
Well, not only that.
And he can do
I would have said Tyreek left out. I think we all woke up at 6 a.m. that day when the game was played in Germany. The Dolphins, and Tyreek knows I'm a huge fan of his, on camera, off camera. Dolphins lost to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Tyreek fumbled. They gave up a touchdown. The Dolphins lost that game by 7 points, a game that was a huge game.
Yeah.
That was a fumble that was anywhere from a 7 to 14-point swing. So Tyreek has left out.
Yeah, but
if Tyreek catches a walk-off, like, in order to for Tyreek to win it, like Adrian Peterson, he's going to have to be so
the only reason that sucks, and I know you're a voter, but Tua has threw some interceptions, too.
Sir.
He was your number three. You know what I'm saying? And the only reason why Tua's having that MVP success is because of Reek and the attention that Reek demands.
That's real.
That is the only thing. If you pull up their numbers, it's crazy. With Tua without Reek, with Reek. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So when you talk about that like that, these quarterbacks make mistakes, too, but Reek is having such an impact.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not even really about the numbers. He's really changing how this offense is ran and the impact of really making everybody around him better.
Yeah, because like, a lot of these quarterbacks are not having great performances. Like, even my guy, Jalen Hurts, he had 3 picks against the Jets. Mm-hmm. And we lost. So, I mean, like, everybody has the moments where they have a fumble or a pick or something. They have that.
Yeah.
I just think that they make it such a quarterback award that they look past all the wide receivers and all the defensive ends. And, like, T.J. Watt, right? I mean, like,
they're winning games.
Come on. No offense on him.
He
is fumble recovery, sacks, touchdowns, picks. Like, like a video game. So I just think I hate the award. I do.
Well, when we return, Jalen Hurts, he has the opportunity to take a major leap in the MVP race or fall back. Can the Eagles get exposed by the 49ers? I think they can. I don't know if they will, but I think they can. That's next on Speak. Don't forget, check us out every day. Fox Sports Channel, Sirius XM. Family, we are in Second and Short, and this topic is about to get intense. Now, it's the game of the year. Niners, Eagles, we have been waiting for this NFC Championship rematch, and it's likely an NFC Championship preview. But the Eagles, underdogs at home in the Link Sunday on Fox. Shady, I had this grandiose thought. I know you're going to disagree with me. Why? Because we've already talked about it off camera, but let's bring it on camera. I believe that the Eagles can get exposed by the Niners on Sunday. I am not saying that they will. But I believe that they can get exposed by the Niners. I remember week 4 of the season when Jason Kelce said, look, everybody feels we need to play better, myself included. I remember a week later when Jalen Hurts said we haven't played our best ball. I know that. Jason Kelce knows that. Jalen Hurts knows that. I don't believe any team outside of the San Francisco 49ers can actually expose the fact that the Eagles are not playing great football. They are still winning, but not playing great football. The Niners have the ability to expose that. Because the 49ers are very, very, very simple. They're bust or blowout. They either will lose or they will blow you out, and it's not going to be very fun. The games the Niners have won, only one has been by single digits. Every other game, get off the field. Mm. You don't belong on the field with us. Right. Hey, Jags, I understand. 5-game win streak, get off the field. Mm. Hey, Dallas Cowboys, I understand. 4-1, get off the field.
Ooh.
The Niners are bust or they are blowout. The Eagles will either win this game or the Niners will expose the fact that the Eagles haven't been playing their best ball, and finally it will catch up to them. Bills almost did it. They almost did. The Chiefs almost did it. I think the Niners have the ability to actually.
Before I give you my task, I want to ask you one question. So if the Bills or the Chiefs,
yes, sir,
beat the Eagles, they expose them?
Beat? No, sir.
But they beat them bad.
If they blew them out, they would have exposed them. Yes, sir.
I'm going to disagree. I don't think that the Eagles or the Niners can be exposed, no matter what the points margin is. When you're talking about two elite football teams, how can they be exposed? Let's say the Eagles get blown out by, no, I'm going to go the other way. Let's say the Niners get blown out by 30 points. What does that mean, though?
Go ahead. Let me cook.
Because I watch people on this desk, my boy to the left, and I watch people on TV and the fans talk bad about the Niners when they weren't playing well. Now they're playing well. So they can expose the Eagles. You can't expose championship caliber football teams. I'll give you an example. When I was 2020, when I was with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Tom Brady, one of the greats of all time, the best football player we've seen, we got exposed, I guess, in your words. Because we got smoked by the Saints.
38-3. Yeah.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Okay, so my thing is, in football, things can go bad. Bad reads, bad game plans, getting out-coached. Yep. Hall of Fame quarterback Tom Brady made a wrong read. Mm-hmm. Leonard Fournette might have fumbled the ball. Anything can happen in football. You play against top teams. And then one thing about playing two good teams, if one team is slipping, they're playing bad, the other team is really good, they'll capitalize on it, right? And that makes the blowouts. But that don't mean you can't win a championship. And if I win a championship, how can I be exposed? If I'm a champion, how can I be exposed? So when we went to when we got our trophy and our rings and all that, you think the Saints said, yeah, we exposed them in week whatever that was?
Yeah.
That don't even make sense. We champions, you expose us?
That week.
You know what? I'll let y'all take it. I'll let y'all. If you expose a champion, that don't even make sense.
Well, see, I think you're going off of season. I'm going off a week.
Oh, okay.
If one of these teams get blown out, you have been exposed by that other team because we label you two as the two best teams in football.
Right.
And if you go out here as the two best teams in football and one of you guys get blown out, you have been exposed. You are not on our level. This is different over here at the Link. Or this is different over here with Brock Purdy. You have been exposed, period. I'm not saying this is not change. This game will not change any of these teams' Super Bowl hopes. But for this week, if you get blown out, if the Niners blow the Eagles out, you have been exposed. The Eagles have not blown nobody out all season long. The Eagles have found ways to win close games, but they are not playing as good as the 49ers. And then if you are going to get blown out by the Niners, there ain't no coming back. The Niners ain't going to give up no lead. You have been exposed. If it goes the other way, the Niners coming in here with their quarterback, three-game winning streak, whatever it may be, playing good on both sides of the ball, and you get beat down for this week, Shady, you are exposed. You are not as good as us. These are the two best teams. This is the two best teams. I'm going to say the two best. If you get blown out either team, you have been exposed for this week.
Give me your anecdotal story. Shady gave us his. He won a championship in 2020 2021 Bucks. With the Bucks. Mm-hmm. Lost 8-3 with the Saints. He says they didn't get exposed. You were on a 6-0 team with the Packers. You played a 6-0 Broncos team. Yep. You felt as though you did get exposed. Mm-hmm. Give me the other side of the coin.
Yeah, we played a 6-0 Broncos team, going up in there feeling good about ourselves, feeling like we was finna beat the brakes off of them, and they whooped us. And we walked off of that field getting exposed like we are not as good as them. They went on to win the Super Bowl. But walking off that field, at least me, I won't speak for the rest of my teammates, but at least me, I felt like we are not on the level of this football team that just beat the brakes off us. For this week, I'm not saying I left the stadium like, man, we ain't gonna win no championship, but I knew we are not on the level of them. Period. At this stage of the season, we are not on the level. For this week, we are not on the level of Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware and Aqib Talib and Chris Harris. We ain't on their level. They are playing at a whole different level. And that's what this game means. Y'all ain't on our level, especially if it's a blowout. You have been exposed. Y'all ain't on our level. And really, you know, y'all better hope y'all don't see us again. That's what this game is going to say.
So if y'all play 10 times, they blow y'all out every time?
Walking off that field, yes. I think they clearly were the better football team than us that day, especially the way they beat us. It wasn't even close, Shady.
I guess we played in two different leagues. I don't know. I disagree that, but I could be wrong. I don't know everything.
I've been in the business since 2007.
Ooh.
I have an honorary doctorate for what I've accomplished in the business. I've hosted 3 network television shows, been at Fox Sports 1 for 8 years.
Yeah.
If I have a bad show, I got exposed. I mean, your resume don't mean anything.
It gotta
mean something. I'm with Shady. Exposed is a real, I mean, if you tell me like you got exposed,
I've been a fraud.
Like, I have no substance whatsoever. I'm like, you see how they expose them? Like, that feels like, woo, like, man, you gotta come back from that.
Yeah.
If the Niners expose the Eagles, they beat them by whatever, they blow them out by any
21,
number, whatever, they blow them out. And then next week, they get blown out by Seattle. Did Seattle expose the Niners? Because the Niners just exposed the Eagles. And then so on and so forth until the end of time. What you do and what your resume is and what your consistency is, what you consistently do has to matter. It is the NFL. This is the best of the best. If the Eagles lose to the Niners or the Niners lose to the Eagles, none of us are going to come in here the next week thinking either of these teams aren't capable of getting to the NFC Championship game or winning it. This is why I push back on everything that we talk about with Dallas, with them not beating anybody. I don't care. It matters to me what perennially contending teams do in the postseason. I understand. I might be a little different like that. I care about the legacy. I care about what you do when it matters. Once you've reached a certain level, there's a core four for me right now. The Chiefs, the Cowboys, the Niners, the Eagles. They have reputations. They have built equity with me. That means week to week, I don't need to fly off the handle about your performance. Like Shady said, when you're playing, two good teams are playing, and one good team has a bad day, that other good team doesn't have a bad day, they're going to take advantage of every mistake. You turn it over, they're going to score. You make a bad read, they're going to intercept it because they're good on good. That's why I get hesitant about saying, however, the outcome of this game is not going to change my opinion dramatically.
Right.
Will I say, okay, maybe the Niners are playing better football right now than the Eagles? Will I say, okay, maybe the Eagles are actually capable of beating anyone on any day, whether they play well or play good or whatever? But to say it's going to expose them to me means that they're not as good as we think they are. And I think the Eagles have done enough this season. I think the Niners have done enough this season. I think Shanahan has done enough. I think Nick Sirianni has done enough. Yeah. Jalen Hurts has done enough. That 1 week of bad play for whatever reason is not going to make me feel like they're not capable of doing everything that I think they're capable of. And the same for the Niners.
I think that's fair. I love this show because I love respecting other people's thoughts. I think it's fair. I think the way Shady feels and the way Joy feels, I think it's 1,000% fair. Now, I lean on the side of James. Like, I'm with you. It's like, if a team is great, I don't think they get blown out.
No,
and a blowout to me isn't just about a scoreboard. To me, a blowout is more so about, like, also how did it look? When Shady played that 38-3 game, I was an analyst at the time. He was on the field. The Bucks weren't that good. To me, the Bucks won 8 straight games in order to win a Super Bowl. You were there. You were in the forest. I'm standing outside looking at it. 8 straight. They got a lot better. As an analyst, as a player, you know way better than I inside the locker room. No, early on in the season, no. I believe the Saints beat y'all twice in the regular season. Y'all went back and beat them in the playoffs and route to winning a Super Bowl. So I didn't think the Bucks were that good early on. Shouldn't have been. Antonio Brown was acquired in the middle of the season. Lenny Fournette was acquired in the offseason. Tom Brady had just showed up. Rob Gronkowski there. B.A. is a completely different head coach than Bill Belichick. Bruce Arians, completely different coach than Bill Belichick, so shouldn't have been. But if the Niners blow out the Eagles, I think I will look and be like, they've been finding ways to win. The main thing is the main thing, but them other things finally matter.
But if you do it that way, you can never be wrong.
That's enough.
Elaborate.
If you say, like, okay, when they lost at this point in the season, they weren't the same team that they were at this point in the season, then you're always right. Because you're just saying that this is a different team, that they were a different team when they won the championship than they were when they played the Saints. And maybe you did add a piece or two. But, like, then you could always be right. This is never the same team.
To her point. So, would you say that when we won a championship, we were a great team then?
Yes. But here's my thought process.
Okay.
Here's my thought process. Number one, and correct me if I'm wrong, Andy, I might need your help off camera with the record.
I can help him out, too.
Antonio Brown, when did he arrive?
He had this little suspension. Yeah, he got that, like, what, the fifth game?
I believe on the field, Antonio Brown is a first ballot Hall of Fame
talent. No question.
So sure. I believe adding Antonio Brown to a Buccaneers team, they are not the same team. I also believe Antonio Brown scored in the Super Bowl. So in the most important game, he also once again proved his value. So quite literally, Antonio Brown, his first game being week 9, I do believe that they were literally a different team.
So one player made us a great team to win a Super Bowl. That's what you're telling me?
I think in addition to getting better, I think it helped. Now, really what I think is this. Like, I really think that unless you get significantly better, then that exposure means something to me. The Dallas Cowboys, until I see them beat a really good team, the fact that the Niners blew them out, that means something. Until I see the Dolphins beat a good team, the fact that the Bills blew them out, that means something. So that's where I stand.
But see, for me, though, like I said, for me, I'm week to week. If you get blown out this week, any one of these teams, you have been exposed. It's just like if you're a receiver. If I'm going up against Darrell Revis and I'm having a heck of a year and this dude is a lockdown corner and I go out here and have seven targets for one catch for 8 yards, that's exposed. That's him D'ing me up. So for me, ooh, player to player, he got the best of me that week and I've been exposed. Does that mean I ain't gonna come back next week and ball? Or does that mean my season is over? No, but for that week, I have been exposed. We're talking about a blowout, Shady.
All right, so let me just give you my point of view on this. So, like, exposed to somebody like Tim Tebow, right? He's really great in college. Gets to the league. You see what he really is. Would you agree with that? That's being exposed.
Well, that's you a fraud.
No. You a first round. All these stats, all these trophies. You was this guy. Johnny Football.
Okay.
Right? Johnny Manziel,
exposed.
Yeah.
Right? That's being exposed. But you telling me if I'm a dog and if I'm a great player, right? And I go against Urlacher, right? Urlacher. I'm against Urlacher. And he has a great game against me.
Yeah.
Is LeSean McCoy exposed because he had a bad game against my great? And then I go against Ray Lewis and I go at him and I do him up. You see what I'm saying? We're talking about the elite of the elite. And you've been in games where we're a really, really good team, yeah, and one thing happens bad. Then something else happened bad. Then it keeps rolling.
Yeah.
Drop pass. DeSean Jackson beats a dude deep. He's gonna catch that. He drops it.
Yeah.
I fumble the ball. Like, you've been part of that. So when you telling me like one game can make you exposed, well, sounds crazy because I've been on teams where you ball out, yeah, right? And these things don't happen. Or we play teams that was really, really good on tape. We watch them on tape, like, yo, these boys is nice. Yeah. We whoop them bad. Yeah. They're not exposed, they had a bad game. Yeah. If you keep getting blown every game, okay, cool. Like the Giants. Mm-hmm. Like the Giants. But last example, and I'm done. Last year, right, however you felt about them, they was winning some games they shouldn't have won. They was a bad, bad team. They went all the way to the playoffs. That's why we said Brian Daboll is a hell of a coach. This year, you could say they got exposed because Danny Jones, right, gets all this money because they went to the playoffs. People was like, he might be decent. He might be better than we thought. That's what everybody was saying. He was trash before that. Trash. He gets to Brian Daboll. He might be kind of good. Let's pay him some money. And then when they paid him, I was like, they tripping. But some of you said, I'm straight to you tripping because he has some potential. We get to this season, he's exposed. Because this is really, that's what I'm saying. So when I break this thing down, it's like when you tell me two great teams, if one of them get blown out, they exposed?
Yeah, see.
Sounds crazy.
And I understand what you're saying.
You got to.
You're going off a body of work.
You've been
I'm
there.
I'm going off of this week. I'm telling you right now, if Shady's MO is in the hole, one-on-one, wop-wop, you're going to get that work. Catching the ball out of the backfield, one-on-one, wop-wop, you're going to get that work. And Urlacher tackles you 10 out of 10 times. He exposed you. You can't get past Urlacher for that week. I'm not saying Shady's a bad football player, but for that week, if you played Urlacher again, I'm going to be like, bruh, Urlacher going to make the tackle. He exposed Shady last time they played. That's what this game is going to say.
And then what if he doesn't?
I got Urlacher.
But I'm going off of that week.
But I'm saying, but then what if they meet up again? And he doesn't. And Shady gives him crazy work the whole game.
Like normal.
What did that game mean? That's why I'm saying, for me, body of work has to matter. If these teams meet again in the postseason, and say the Eagles get blown out, and these teams meet again in the postseason, and the Eagles just beat the Niners, did the Niners expose the Eagles, or did the Niners beat the Eagles in a regular season game?
I think it depends how this game goes.
I literally wrote down while Shady was speaking, and Shady was cooking there, I wrote down the why. I think so often in life, people expect the why. Like Shady said, like, if D-Jack drops this, if that happens, if this happens.
You beat yourself there.
It's like, what's your why? And so I think if the Niners play a good game and the Eagles play a good game, but the Niners are just that much better that they blow them out, then it's exposure. But if Jalen Hurts, if a snap goes over his head, and then it's a safety, and then he's running and he trips and the ball just comes out of his hand, and then DeAndre Swift is making a cut and he fumbles non-contact, then I'm like, it's just a bad day. But, like, I've seen, and I've said, I won't say players by name, but I've seen elite linebackers go up against Lane Johnson, and I'm like, they got exposed. They're elite. I'm not taking away the fact that they're elite, but against Lane, they ain't like that. And so, to me, it's like, the Eagles will still be really good, But against the Niners, I think the Niners would have the ability to expose them because it would take somebody elite in my mind to expose you. But again, I feel you. Like, and naturally, I go more week to week, and naturally, I think y'all go more body of work. I know Shady's a real big, like, prove it to me.
I go body of work because I think if you really are like that, you do it when it matters most. Yeah. And the regular season is obviously important because you got to handle business in the regular season to get to the postseason. But I care more about what it, if we win this and go home or win this and move on, those are the games and times when it matters. That's why I can't just take a whole different opinion of either of these teams, no matter how this game goes, because these teams have shown that they are capable of winning those games when it matters most.
And I've seen great teams lose to bad teams. I've seen great teams play other great teams and don't look as good. I've seen great players do bad against good players. I seen Darrell Revis lock up all type of wide receivers. Mm-hmm. Terrell Owens, Chad John, everybody. Yeah. But then a dude like Stevie Johnson, who's good, but he ain't great, was to do him up.
Used to have that work.
And all I'm saying is, like, I've seen it. So, like, you're not going to sit here and tell me Darrell Revis in the Hall of Famer, he ain't that great.
No, I'm not. Never said that.
Of course you can. But I've seen him look tape like, yo, that's Revis, 24. You see that dude from the Bills, Johnson, giving him work?
Why,
when I say that, it's like, that's why I say, like, this league is so special with football, because any given moment, any given game, any given Sunday, you'll see
a few questions in that example. In that example, and again, I can't speak to it, but let me just extenuate.
I'll let your boy, what's going on?
Wouldn't you say that, like, man, Revis got exposed versus Shifty Nick versus Shifty Slots?
I can never say like ever Revis got exposed.
But versus Shifty, because I know players who's like, yo, nobody can stop him. Yeah. But you know what? Versus a longer defender. Yeah. Or you know what? Versus a quicker this, versus a quicker that. Like, let me go to James, because Shady could never say it. But in your mind as a receiver, couldn't you say, like, oh, you know what? This dude versus a quicker dude?
Yeah.
Or this dude versus a...
Well, I mean, that's all corners. And I've had conversations with Charles Woodson, Al Harris, played against Darrell Revis and all them boys. All corners love to go against the big physical receivers. Yep. Point blank, period, right? They don't got to deal with all the wah-wah. They don't got to deal with none of that. When you're going up against Stevie and Keenan Allen and Devontae Adams and guys like that who are shifty and wiggly, that is a harder cover, right? It's an easier cover. No disrespect to Mike, Evans, no disrespect to Teal, but they're big physical receivers. It's not a lot of movement at the line of scrimmage. Not saying they're not getting busy, but that's easier for a corner. That's what they want. That's what Richard Sherman used to want. He would want to guard a Mike Evans over a Keenan Allen because of the shiftiness, or over a Devontae Adams. It's a tougher cover. But I'm not saying just because you get beat once, Shady, or whatnot.
Let's say you have a bad game. He just
that's
you.
Where you're
he,
going bad.
He kills you. I mean, if you get blown out, if the Eagles are up, they get blown out. Like, come on, they had a bad game. If the Niners get blown out, they had a bad game. I don't think that these teams are that great where we just so much greater than y'all. I don't believe it, because they match up roster-wise for sure. So I'm just saying, if either of these teams have a bad day and they get blown out, we can't say they got
to
expose.
But what if none of these teams have a bad day and it's really good football and the Niners show they are clearly a better team, or the Philadelphia Eagles show they clearly a better team? For me, that's exposed. For me, that's on tape now.
Yeah.
We all know it's a copycat league.
I just think that
you get exposed at something, people going to copy that.
My years of watching football and playing football, I've never seen super elite team versus super elite team, and it is, and one dude just gets smoked, and they both play great. I don't see that.
Yeah.
I don't see that.
Fair. Well, Tua Tagovailoa and Tyreek Hill have played great a lot this season, but Tyreek does not think his quarterback, Tua, is getting enough respect. Is Tua getting disrespected? Come back to find out. We just getting warmed up here on Speak. That's next.
Hey, look, James, you want to make another bet?
Well done, fellas. Ladies.
All right, family, we are in third and long. Dolphins face the Commanders this season on Fox, this Sunday on Fox. Miami 8-3, but much credit hasn't been going to it. Been going to receiver, the man on your screen, Tyreek. However, Tyreek is making sure to give praise to his quarterback, Tua, saying Tua may be the most underrated quarterback in the league. Joy Taylor, you are the resident Dolphins fan. I hear what Tyreek is saying. Shady said he would put Tyreek at the top of his MVP ballot, not Tua. I think James Jones said he agreed. So I hear what he's saying. Do you think that Tua is getting enough respect?
Yes, he is. And if my name comes up in any room, y'all better ride for me the way that Reek rides for Tua.
No question.
Now, if I find out you didn't.
No, we got your back.
Well, okay.
We got your back.
Period. Joy, what? What were you saying?
Huh?
Oh, okay, that's what I thought you were saying. Yeah. Immediately. Look, Reek. Love him some Tua now.
Yeah, he do.
And I respect it. I think Tua is getting the exact amount of respect that Tua deserves. Now, to be clear, I wasn't watching the same program that Reek was watching, so I don't know what was said. But you have Tua, or had Tua, in your MVP conversation. And at three, I think a lot of people have talked about Tua all season long as an MVP candidate, somebody who is having a great season. Their offense has been tremendous. I think a lot of people are giving some respect to Tyreek for that, but also Tua is throwing the ball to Tyreek, and not just Tyreek, and they have a great offense. So I think people think Tua is a franchise quarterback and that he has nothing left to prove, really, except for if he can stay healthy and what he's going to do in the postseason. So I don't, again, I didn't hear what was said, but I don't hear disrespect for Tua the way that we used to hear it. Tua had a very rough start to his NFL career. The team didn't want him. It was Tom Brady, and it was Ryan Fitzpatrick, and it was Deshaun Watson, and like he couldn't keep his job, and he couldn't stay healthy. It was a lot of turmoil, but I feel that's settled down. So maybe, I guess, for me, I'm a little confused as to what more respect is Tua owed at this point, because I think people do respect Tua.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at, man. We got to stop this. I mean, I play with Aaron Rodgers. I ride for Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers' play spoke for itself. I didn't have to tweet nothing and say Aaron Rodgers need more respect. Micah, let Dak's play speak for itself. Reek, let Tua's play speak for itself. Shady's play spoke for itself. Nobody got to come out and say, hey, man, Shady need more respect. Let these boys take the field and your play speak for itself. Tua ain't beat nobody good yet. He don't get halfway treated as Dak get treated. He get a lot of respect.
That's true. That is true.
You know, so all these dudes coming out, my quarterback this. Let your quarterback go out there and deliver on the football field and play at a high level. And I promise you, you turn on these TV shows, you're going to hear them getting the respect. Tua gets a lot of respect. I'm tired of these players coming out, man, trying to come to the savior of their quarterback or of any of these dudes. Let their play speak for itself. If you like that, you like that, and we're going to talk about you.
I like that, Jay.
I guess, and I agree with that take. My only problem, and the reason I don't think Tua gets enough respect, I respect him, obviously, is because we're sitting here saying that, like, Tyreek Hill is making Tua or made
Tua. He's making him better.
But even when we talk about Dak, Dak Prescott has, I would say, as many weapons as Tua, if not more.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb currently has 1,100 yards. Obviously, Tyreek Hill has 1,300 yards. So there's a 200-yard gap. But there's also Brandon Cooks. Now there's Jalen Waddle. There's also Tony Pollard. So, but we sit here and we praise Dak. We don't talk about CeeDee. The reason I don't know if Tua's getting enough respect is because I'm like, Tua is the engine that makes this thing go. Like, Tua is really the engine of this machine. And because Tua doesn't necessarily look the part, we try to say, oh, well, it's all Tyreek. And I'm like, Tyreek's doing great. But Tyreek played with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and he's having a significantly better season than he had with them. So who gets credit for that? Are we only going Mike McDaniel? Or does Tua not get credit for that? Tyreek's been in the NFL 7 years. Through 11 games, he already has more touchdowns in every season except for two, and he has more yards for every season except for two. He played with Mahomes and Andy Reid. So who gets credit for this dream season Tyreek is having? I think Tua has to get that.
So really quick, because you had Tua at three.
At three.
How much more dang respect do we got to give him?
Yeah.
Like, where does he want us to take Tua? Like, help me with that, Acho. How much more respect can you give him? You want to put him at two or one?
That's fair. I don't think I can give him much more respect.
Nobody can.
But I think, like, maybe the Shadys of the world. I won't speak for Shady. Shady, get your thought off.
I give Tua a lot of respect. He's a hell of a quarterback. He's really, really good. He's a top-tier quarterback in this league. I would say that. I just don't know, like, how much respect does Tyreek think he needs, right? Because my thing is, Tyreek Hill is special. I don't think Tua is super special like that. I think he's a hell of a quarterback. I think a guy like, if Tyreek Hill decides to retire tomorrow, the league will miss him, right? We probably will see him for another...
No question.
Wherever the hell, how long that is. Yeah. Where Tua is like, okay, he retires. Ah, oh, man, that lefty was...
Tua's is in the draft this year, as you say.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's all I'm saying. No disrespect, but, like it's just levels to it. And then before Tyreek Hill got to the Dolphins, what'd you think about Tua? Better yet, you a Miami Finn for real. What'd you think about... So when you hear this story, like, all right, he's a hell of a player now, right? We don't want to trade him no more. Now the owner, we don't want to trade him. We want to keep him here. Got a hell of a coach. Got a super talented wide receiver core. Well, he gets some respect he deserves. And I think that Tua goes out there and he has phenomenal games.
displays a lot of talent. But when you say he needs more respect, I'm just thinking, like, well, where at? Because he gets a lot of respect.
Well, the game coming up this weekend is all about respect. Niners, Eagles, Shady and I are going to break down the matchup. Who has the edge? Who's the better quarterback this game?
Here we go.
Better head coach, best defense, best offense. We're giving you the answers to who has the edge and where you should put your money. Next on Speak.
Cash me out.
The game that we have all been waiting for is the biggest game of the season. Niners, Eagles, Shady gonna be there, Meek Mill gonna be there, Will Smith gonna be there. You see, he already live, he already hyped. But here's the question, who has the edge? LeSean McCoy, I need answers. We gotta start with the head coach, Sirianni, Kyle Shanahan. They've both been to Super Bowls, neither has won. Who got the edge?
Shanahan, he's a beast, he is a beast, a lot of respect. But he don't win this. We go all the way to Philadelphia with this. Nick Sirianni, you see my boy, Super Bowl last year, best record last year, this year, best record this year. All he does is win. He puts his boys in position to win games. That's why he's the top coach. Stop playing.
I like it. I like it. I have to go with Kyle Shanahan as the better head coach. I like his body of work more. I like what Kyle Shanahan has proven to be able to do with lesser more. Nick Sirianni is a phenomenal head coach, a phenomenal head coach. He might win coach of the year. He probably should have last year. But in this game, this matchup, I like Kyle Shanahan and the brilliance of his offensive mind. Let's get it going. Quarterback, this game.
Stop playing. Listen, last time they played, one quarterback didn't make it out. My boy, he always make it out. Jalen Hurts, stop playing. The front runner for the MVP. You know what it is.
I feel it. I will not disagree with this take. Jalen Hurts, best quarterback this game. I believe Brock Purdy might be a statistically impressive.
Lineup is fresh. Got the guns out.
You got the guns out.
See you.
Brock Purdy might be a statistically as impressive, but Jalen Hurts just finds a way to win. He will his team to victory.
Yes, he does.
The only reason I have doubts about this game is because of that man number one. Who has the better offense?
Ooh, that is down. I ain't gonna lie. This is a tough one. But as I look at it, as I dissect it, I'm going with the best offensive line. I'm going with the best wide receiver core. The running backs, it's pretty close. I like Swift. I like McCaffrey. I'm going with the Eagles, baby. Stop playing. One thing we do, we give out crazy work on offense. I don't care what the game looks like. Fourth quarter, you know who to bet on.
I'm about to stop taking you seriously. When we get to defense, I'm going to stop taking you seriously if you keep acting
funny. You going to the offense?
If you keep acting funny, I'm going to stop taking you seriously. Bang, bang. Niners got the better offense, big dog. I like Christian McCaffrey more than I like DeAndre Swift. I like a healthy Trent Williams more than I like Lane Johnson. And right now, George Kittle, I think he'll find a way to be a neutral.
Who he used to play for?
I can't tell.
Hey, Howie, where you at, Howie? Remember this guy. Hey, now he cut me five times. He going to be all right, all right? This is the least I could do. Defense, let's get it popping. Let's get it popping. Who has the better defense this game, this matchup?
I'm going to walk over there. Right? Even though my boy, my dog, Acho, he was killing Wilkes, the defense coordinator, all year.
I was.
Now, today, he likes him. And I'm going to go with the Niners defense.
Bang, bang, it is. You already know what it is for me. Throw the Niners defense up there. I will never bet again. Fred Warner. I won't get a bet against Chase Young, Nick Bosa, Gibson, Travarius Ward, Lenore, Greenlaw. They got some dogs on defense. Here's my favorite question. Here's the most important question. X factor in this game, 2-5.
Every time the Eagles is in a jam offensively, we go to this one player. Now we all know who Jalen Hurts is.
Of course.
DeAndre Swift.
Ooh.
Where you at? Number zero, Philadelphia Eagles. He's the last person I've seen to make that jump cut out the hole.
That's a good
like
one.
Like 25. And his name is DeAndre Swift, and he's from Philadelphia.
That's a good one. That's a good
one. You know what's up with him.
That's a good one. I am going out of the white lines for mine.
Okay.
Steve Wilkes.
I'm out.
He's the X factor because how well or how poorly he performs dictates the game.
The X factor for me isn't like
who's the best person. No. The X factor is who's the most important.
I go with that.
I think Wilkes can ruin this game, and I think Wilkes can make this game. Last game, the San Francisco 49ers, they chose to shadow Travarius Ward on DK Metcalf. Will they try to do that with AJ Brown?
No.
Because if Travarius Ward shadows AJ Brown, what you gonna do with Lenore? You gonna keep him in the slot?
Right,
and you gonna waste Lenore on Olamide Zaccheaus, but then what about Heisman winner Devontae Smith?
like Steve Wilkes got a lot to decide. Hufanga, the All-Pro, he's only missed one game with that ACL, so he doesn't know what he's going to do without Hufanga yet. I think Steve Wilkes is going to be the difference in this game. If he calls a great game, I think they win. If he calls a bad game, I think it could get ugly. He's
That's a great point, and I don't want to kill your take, nothing like that. I just got one question though.
Talk to
me. All these cartoon characters though. Why, my man? What's up with brother? Like, you got the gray showing everything. Like, why you?
You right though.
Yo, come on, you're man. Right, like, you showing your true colors for real with him.
Hey, y'all can at least dye my dog's hair. So, like Shanahan looked 32.
Yeah, send it to the bar. Like, they got to dye nowadays.
Bro, they didn't even give him no Botox. Yeah. They didn't even give him no, like, Botox. Everybody else. Feel straight up. You know what I'm saying?
They got the filter.
They got the filters. They need the filter, my dog.
Well, look, now, if he has a good game, don't get him right.
Yeah,
that a deal? If he has a good game, get him right.
Done.
All right, best. Done. Barber.
All right, we headed back to the desk for this one. James Jones, we talked about Kyle Shanahan. Yeah. We have talked about the offense. Who has more pressure in this ball game? Is it Kyle Shanahan or is it his quarterback, Brock Purdy?
Last time I checked, Kyle Shanahan was there last year. He was coaching. He was calling the plays. He was doing everything he had to do. Whoever was at quarterback, it's Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy was not there. Well, he was there for a little bit, and then he got exited up out of that game. But for me, all the pressure's on Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy, to everybody, to the Niners fan base, to the Niners coaching staff, you hear Fred Warner talk about him being a leader, is everything to this Niners team. These are the games that you need to be everything and you need to play the right way. So more pressure is on Brock Purdy because these Niner fans and Kyle Shanahan feel like they are the ones playing for the Super Bowl if their quarterback is healthy. So now he is healthy. Can you get this thing done? More pressure on Brock Purdy to play a really good football game and bring the Niners this victory than it is Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, there's way more pressure on Brock Purdy. Kyle Shanahan ain't going to get blamed for nothing. Nothing. No. Who was your X factor? Was it Kyle? Was it head coach? Or was it Steve Wilkes? He didn't even have a graphic. Okay? That's how far down it is. No, it's of course going to be Brock Purdy. And nothing that happens in this game will get laid at the feet of Kyle Shanahan. In the church of Kyle Shanahan, it's past the buck. Who's pop? It's going to go to Brock. If it ain't Brock's fault, it'll go to Steve Wilkes. If it ain't Steve Wilkes' fault, it'll go to the defense as a whole. If they don't go there, it'll go to injuries. And then maybe like 15 down, we'll be like, Kyle,
you don't rock
work.
With Kyle at all?
I do rock with Kyle. But I'm saying, what I'm saying is true. No?
Yeah, it is.
So it's going to be on Brock Purdy. Now, it should be on Brock Purdy because there are questions about how he is going to be able to perform in the biggest moments this year. We've seen him struggle when he didn't have Trent Williams. They were bad. Brock Purdy was bad. Now, they're healthy. Everyone's going into the for the most part, obviously. Everyone is missing pieces, but they are mostly healthy, and they're healthy at those positions going into this weekend. I don't really have a lot of questions about Brock Purdy. I think when Brock Purdy has all the pieces around him, he's capable of playing at a really, really high level. We've seen enough evidence of that with him that I don't have those questions. Is he able to overcome that kind of adversity? No, I don't think he can. We've seen that. So who has more pressure? It's going to be Brock Purdy. I'm kind of joking about Kyle Shanahan, but I'm kind of not. He's not going to get blamed for this game if it goes badly. He's just not. It's going to be on the players and how they perform, and that's how it's going to turn out.
I agree. It's funny. Like, I agree with the hyperbole of Shanahan. It's on Purdy has more pressure because Shanahan has more equity. It's very simple. That's why we don't blame Shanahan. He's got so much equity.
Yeah.
Like, Shanahan has made bad players good, has made good players MVPs, and has made decent players in the Super Bowl.
Like, respect.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, Shanahan is, it's almost like he can do no wrong because he's done so much right. And so because of that, Brock Purdy is clearly going to be the one who has more to prove. Brock Purdy's the one I have more questions about. I don't question Shanahan. I saw what Shanahan could do with Matt Schaub.
Yeah.
I saw what Shanahan could do with Matt Ryan. I saw what Shanahan could do with Nick Mullins. Over the course of 16 games, he had 5,000 yards. I didn't say it for a reason. I saw what Shanahan has been able to do with several different quarterbacks. So why would I question Shanahan? I just won't. But Brock Purdy, even when he's healthy, I agree with Joy. I know who he's capable of beating, but I don't know if he's capable of beating the Eagles. I don't know that.
Can we throw Jimmy G in there? He's awesome,
correct.
Too. Okay.
Took him to the Super Bowl. So, yeah.
Well, I'm going to go with Brock Purdy as well. I just think that you hear so much from the Niners. I had a chance to interview Deebo Samuels, right? And he was saying how, man, he was lucky. Lucky we ain't had Brock Purdy the whole game. Everybody has that narrative like, y'all lucky y'all ain't cool. So now we get to see it, right? Mm-hmm. So you talk about pressure. Everybody said, well, if you was there, if that right arm, I can't even say that. If Hassan Reddick didn't do what he did to you.
Mm-hmm.
You'd beat us, you know, because they had you there. So we gotta see it. So all that he heard, because my boy coming back. Yeah, my boy. Okay, well, your boy's back. Mm-hmm. Your boy's playing.
So that's a good point.
We gonna find out.
Because everybody is writing checks for Brock Purdy.
Oh, yeah.
Big checks.
Like, they writing checks like, hey, if Brock would have been there, if he would have been there, he gonna be there.
Like, if he don't do it, it's just not going to be good for him. Well, Lamar Jackson, he has been there for the Baltimore Ravens, and he's a big part of why they have the best record in the AFC. When we return, we're going inside the film room. Who is more deserving of the Ravens' success? Is it Lamar in the offense or the defense? Going to take you inside a film room like a real NFL player to show you all of the whys on who's more deserving. That's next on Speed. What's up, family? I had to bring y'all inside the film room for this phenomenal conversation. The Baltimore Ravens, they're atop the AFC, but in large part, it's not just because of Lamar Jackson. It's also because of their defense. So here's the question. Who's more deserving of the praise? Is it Lamar Jackson or is it the defense? Y'all know I'm a defender, so I have to make my case for why the defense is more deserving. See, what I love about the Baltimore Ravens defense is they don't give up anything expensive and they don't give you anything cheap. Kyle Hamilton, he's a first-round pick out of Notre Dame last year. They have found the position for him. He embodies the Ravens defense right now. You'll see him right here. He's at the bottom of the screen. This should be easy right now. You're going to block Kyle Hamilton. You're going to crack block him. But what they say in football is you make sure that you crack the crack blocker. Kyle Hamilton, he embodies the Ravens defense because his aggression. Get off me, I got somewhere to be, tackle for a loss. That nice. Is the Baltimore nice. Ravens defense. He not only gives up things or doesn't give you things that are expensive to him, but he makes sure not to give up anything cheap. You're going to see right here, Kyle Hamilton, edge of the screen. He's going to crack block the crack blocker, and he's going to get out, make the tackle for a loss. I love what the Ravens are doing defensively. They are worthy of a lot of credit. Bringing it to the desk, James Jones, I know you're a big fan of this Ravens team. So who deserves more credit? Is it Lamar Jackson or is it the Ravens defense?
I'm going to go with the Ravens defense. And I'm going to circle this because I ain't even going to talk about Lamar Jackson's stats because I don't want to dog my dog up
James
here.
James loves to circle something.
I'm a fan of Lamar.
So circle. I appreciate my
dog. Yeah, I appreciate my dog giving me that. But I'm going with the defense. The defense is averaging 15 points a game. They lead the league in sacks, 19 takeaways. I mean, they really won that game against the Chargers without that late score, 13-10. You know what I mean? Like, they playing big-time defense. Lamar Jackson is playing solid football, but this is one of the best defenses in the National Football League. They are where they are at, point-blank period, because how well this defense is playing. You just broke down some really good tapes, but this defense is the reason why the Baltimore Ravens is the number one seed in the AFC, point-blank period. Lamar Jackson is helping, but this defense is playing at a high, high level in every single category this season. They playing big-time football. I'm taking defense.
He's helping?
Yeah, he's helping.
Oh, yeah. I think he's doing a little more than helping. Mm. I know. Oh, I hear you. I hear you. I'm just saying, I think Lamar is doing a little more than helping. By the way, let's give the Ravens a little love because we're talking about a lot of other teams, and the Ravens are
quietly the best team
in the AFC. Yep. They are playing great football. And honestly, if I was Ravens, I would love it. Talk about everybody else. Let us chill. Let us just keep winning
under
these
the
games.
Radar.
Let us stay under the radar, no expectations. It's cool. I love that about the Ravens this year. And I will say, the defense has been incredible. I have to give Lamar credit because if they weren't winning, we would be giving Lamar the criticism. Okay. So I have to say that they are 4-0 when he passes for two or more touchdowns. He is playing really, really good football.
So
right
he the
now.
Reason you say it? Or I didn't get you.
I'm going to say more credit. I didn't say the entire reason. I think the Ravens are a great team. I think they're a great team overall. The defense plays a big role. Really, we talk a lot about the MVP today. I just said it. I'm giving more credit to Lamar Jackson.
Oh, okay.
I'm also going to say, I think this year, all this talk we had about the MVP, all the talk about all these great teams and the quarterbacks aren't really playing that well, and we're having a lot of questions about everybody. I think it's because there are excellent, not good, excellent defenses in the league. The Chiefs have a great defense. The Ravens have a great defense. The Eagles have a great defense. The Niners have a great defense. The Cowboys have a great defense.
The
Browns have a great defense. The Steelers have a great defense. Yeah. I don't think it's a coincidence that there hasn't been a super high level of consistent quarterback play. And these teams, a lot of these teams, were giving the credit to the defense this year. I think this is a year where we should probably just give a little love to the defenses. I still think Lamar deserves more credit because he is the most valuable player on this team, but I think this year is very unique, and I think it has a lot. I don't think it's a coincidence that there's so many great defenses this year.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the defense for sure, but let's just put some more respect on Lamar Jackson. A lot of these games I've been watching, they be dropping the ball. They be dropping that pill. Bro, I'm just saying.
Lately, man.
Man, listen,
making the plays
it's a couple, one or two passes they dropping. Yo, that's an easy first down. Bring that in for my dog. Yo, that's a 60-yard game. Bring that in for my dog. I see a lot of that. So even last game, was it the Chargers?
Chargers, they
probably. Number four, Flowers. Yeah, beast. Say Fire, but he dropped a nice one. Every ball counts. Okay. Every ball counts. I just tell my lineman, hey, look, man, I don't need a lot of blocking, but one time I do need that spring out block. Let's get a little crap, get out of there. Yep. And when they would miss that, say, yo, look, man, I would jokingly do it, right, because I'm good with bringing people together. Hey, big dog, you had a great game, but listen, that little block, that's 200 yards.
That's bad.
I'm cool 150, though, but that's so small things like that. So Lamar Jackson, he had them type of catches from these boys, he'll have more yards. Mm. Now, the defense, though, is playing great. They, 15 points a game?
That's amazing.
You can't even draw that up. Yeah. 15 points a game.
It's
so
beautiful.
A lot of respect for them. Even Hamilton, last year, I mean, I don't ever judge rookies, but last year I was like, man, like I thought he was.
He wasn't great in the back end. He was not great. They had to put him in the nickel for a reason.
But he could play everywhere now.
Correct. Now.
I watched him cover man. I watched him in the back end.
You weren't wrong. You weren't wrong at all.
Blitzing.
He's so fun to
and
watch.
They have a great. And like, one thing about the, I'll talk about DNA, right? I'm sorry, I'm talking too much about the defense, but I love defense like this because it's generational, right? Even when Ray Lewis came back in the day, they have that DNA. They get that Mike linebacker that's going to go in there and go crazy, and everybody feeds off of that. Even the secondary. They don't have no super big names in the secondary. I mean, if you want to say Humphreys, he's cool, but he's not a super big name. They playing well, passing, rushing, everything. So I just love what the Ravens are really doing on defense, and it's hard to do.
I love that celebration. I don't think I can do that to anybody, though. Too small? I can hit like a toddler.
He did it to Keenan Allen, too.
I'm 5'2". It's going to be tough for me to pull that off.
Do y'all feel, and obviously I'll bring this full circle because the Dallas Cowboys play here in about 2.5 hours. Do you feel about the Baltimore Ravens regular season like you feel about the Cowboys regular season? It's irrelevant. Dak Prescott has shown us he can win a lot of regular season games. He's never had a losing record in the regular season. Lamar Jackson has shown us he can win even more regular season games. He's never had a losing record in the regular season. But Lamar Jackson is 1-3 in the playoffs when he shows up and finishes. Dak Prescott, I believe, is 2-4 in the playoffs. Do you particularly, Joy, because I know you've been very vocal about nothing the Cowboys do in the regular season matters. Do you feel about Lamar and the Ravens in the regular season? How you feel about the Cowboys regular season?
I think we all do. Because we ain't been talking about the Ravens like that. And they're winning at the highest level. So, yeah, I think so. I don't mention them in that core four probably because Lamar hasn't had the postseason success. And even though they were in the postseason last year, obviously Lamar wasn't available. I'm not going to go week to week with the Ravens either, really. But I think it is significant that they're playing this well. Also, Lamar just got paid. So for him to come out and be playing like this and all the questions that we had about it and all the additions that they made and the change of the offensive coordinator, like, there was something that we needed to learn about this Ravens team. And they're answering all the questions.
Yeah, and I just feel like right now with the offense, especially the skill positions, they learn who they are.
Yeah.
Like, Odell Beckham, right? I didn't know what he would bring to that team. The name is cool. But he's starting to come into his own, though. You're starting to see the burst. You're starting to see the separation. You're starting to see the routes, right? He's starting to become Odell Beckham like we remember. Yeah. And then Zay Flowers. That dude is special. So my thing is when I watch the Ravens, they are starting to gel together on offense. Well, Lamar has never had a real offense, in my opinion, right? I play under Greg Roman, and that's like 9-on-7 running the ball.
Inside zones all day,
right? And I love Greg, but I'm just being honest. You can't really win with that type of offense. No. Like, even Kaepernick wasn't really that good, but it made him look better because he's running the ball to the quarterback. Now you got to have a real offense to win nowadays. It's not the old day. And now let's look at the Ravens. They're getting the running game together, different running backs, the power dudes, the fast speed guys. And you look at the wide receiver room. They're finally gelling together. I think Lamar in the postseason never had an offense of supporting cast like he does now.
Coach Mike, I always bring up Coach Mike in here because Coach Mike taught me a lot. And hopefully he's teaching this to Dak. But Coach Mike taught me, regular season, everybody checks is different, right? Different superstar players, everybody checks is different, right? It's cool to win but the main goal is to get to the playoffs. When you get to the playoffs, Aaron Rodgers checked the same as mine.
It is true.
Because the playoffs is all about legacy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The playoffs is about making a name for yourself, and it's about legacy. You don't care about what happened in the regular season, how many stats you throw, them checks is different. Mm-hmm. But when we get in the playoffs, that practice squad, that special teams player, they're all the same because this year is about legacy. That's all this is for Lamar Jackson. You got one playoff win, right? Your check is fatter than everybody's in this locker room in the regular season. When the postseason comes, everybody check the same, but it's about your legacy. So defense or not, he has to show up on that postseason.
Wait, did you know that? Did you know that before you got to the playoffs?
What's up?
Like the checks were the same?
I mean, after my first year.
I didn't know that. I was like, yo, what's up with the money though? Like,
yeah.
He assuring me?
My first year, I'm like, this ain't my check.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is everybody's like, check.
Y'all messed
us up. I sent my drone back in. Yeah, y'all gave the wrong money. Yeah.
Everybody check.
January 4th, 2014, the only time I made the same amount of money as Shady.
There you go.
Playoff versus the Saints.
You know,
it's a great day. When we return, Cowboys, they kick off in about 2.5 hours. But do you expect them to bully the Seahawks tonight? Is it a must-win game for Dak Prescott? Will he thrust himself to the front of the MVP vote or out of contention in totality? Next on Speed.
Coach Mike dropping gems.
Damn, we are in a hurry-up offense. Cowboys, they host the Seahawks tonight. Now, the Cowboys at home, hard to beat. That's why y'all see that 8.5-point spread. Bring us on camera. We don't need no more talking. The Cowboys are absolute bullies, LeSean McCoy. When they play bad opponents, they beat them down. They beat the Giants 40-0 to start the season. Beat the Jets 40-10. They beat the Panthers, I believe it was 33-10. Andy, I'm doing this off the top of my head, so correct me if I'm wrong. I believe they beat the Giants once again 49-17. When the Cowboys play bad teams, they beat you down. The Seahawks are 6-5. I don't know how good or bad the Seahawks currently are. They were winning the division 3 weeks ago, and right now they're hanging on by a thread. Shady, do you expect the Cowboys to bully the Seahawks in about 2 hours?
I do. I truly do. Yeah. A control game. I think they control the whole game. I think they're a better team.
I like that.
And then one thing, Dallas at home, they are good. They are real good, and they are real, real fast. On both sides of the ball. And also, who are we talking about here, though? The Seahawks?
Yep.
Because you said winning teams. I guess they're a winning team, right? Mm-hmm. They barely win it. What are they, 6-5?
6-5.
I mean, so if we don't count that as like a real winning team, they hold on by their leg. They hold on. And then I think another thing is like, who that going against?
Geno.
Geno Smith? I know he had a solid year last year. I get it. But Geno Smith, he's Geno Smith.
What does that mean?
I don't expect him to go in here and the Dallas is just balled out like that. I've been watching Geno. I've been watching. Mm. Look cool. Look okay. Look how he looks solid. Yeah. So, I think that I don't want to say bully, though, because I hate when we use that word bully. Yeah. Right?
I watched
the Cowboys say that against the Niners, and the word kind of. So, I'll just say they won't beat him bad.
I think they cover the spread. I mean, it's 8.5. So, but that's,
easy.
That's a blowout to me. Like, in the NFL, you beat a team by 10 points. Like, that's a blowout to me. But, you know, 8.5-point spread is a lot of points. I think they cover it, though. Bully is a – I'm with you. That's a little bit of a tough word. I think they control the game.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I hope they blow them out, because then I'm going to tweet out, because I need to try to find a way to get Coach Mike some respect. So I'm going to take the Tyreek and Michael Parsons thing.
I started this off-camera conversation. It's my fault.
And try to get this thing going. But, I think Seattle has some pride. They just got beat down by the Niners. They did not play well, turning the football over. Geno healthy. I think this will be a close game. I don't think they're going to bully the Seattle Seahawks. They got a lot of talent over there, good players. I think this is going to be a good football game.
It absolutely will. Well, there's a sneaky big storyline in the NFL. Zach Ertz, he asked for his release from the Arizona Cardinals, and now there might be a Philly reunion.
Is he coming back home?
He's coming back home. Lane Johnson chimed in. Two of my former teammates, Shady's former teammate, Super Bowl champ, Zach Ertz, reunion in Philly. Hey, Ertz, FaceTime me back, big dog. I know you've seen the missed call.
Let me call Howie.
All right, family, we're on our two-minute drill. Like I told y'all, Zach Ertz, he asked for his release. Current free agent Lane Johnson, his former teammate, he simply tweeted the eye emoji. Could there be a reunion? Shady, would you want to see Zach Ertz back in Philly?
It was a time in my career where I wanted to be where he's at. And I wanted to go back home, and they wouldn't let me go. So, Zach Ertz, you got a chance. They let you go. They release you. Go back home, baby. They winning games. You got a legacy. Why not go back?
I was in the same position Shady was. I was in Oakland. I wanted to go back home. And I made my way back home and had a really good season. So, hey, man, go on back to the crib, man. You're going to know the offense. You're going to know your brothers in the locker room. Be family reunion.
Yeah, I love it. Some depth as well.
If you're Ertz, would you rather go to the Baltimore Ravens? Obviously, Mark Andrews done for the season. Ravens are 9-3. They could use you much more. Or go to the Eagles. Dallas Goedert, he might even return this week. If you're Ertz, you'd rather go to the Ravens, be used more, or the Eagles?
I'm going to say the Eagles, Ryan, because once this game's going to be over with, eventually. All right? And once you are a legend in that city, they're going to treat you a different way.
Yeah.
I was in this situation sitting in Green Bay. Some teams offered me some more money. I said, I'm staying right here playing with my brothers because these is my dogs.
He's the best tight end of all time in Philadelphia, would you say?
I would say.
Absolutely. Why not? Come on, easy one.
For us. We'll see y'all tomorrow, family.